When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Robin Washit.
Blissful ignorance, I think it could be an advantage here.
Robin Washit.
Yeah, I'm a ball guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely huge.
The hot take.
Wash it's good.
Wash it.
Yeah, wash it's real good.
Wash it.
Wash it's good.
Wash it.
Yeah, wash it's real good.
What the hell is it about this time of day where it always clouds up?
Yeah.
Always.
Always.
We get here, it's sunny, it's bright, it looks like a gorgeous day, and then all of a sudden the clouds roll in.
Well, hey, at least we're not outside right now.
Well, I mean, it's not raining.
That's true.
You know where all the clouds come from here?
Lincoln.
Lincoln.
Yep, crime town.
Thanks a lot, Robin.
I can't confirm that no crimes are happening as we speak where I am. So it's safe. Safe and wonderful.
It is safe, indeed. We were just talking a moment ago. They're doing that new Las Vegas tournament for the MTE for college basketball, where each team that plays will get $1 million for its collective. I would have to imagine Fred Hoiberg would be excited about such an opportunity.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think most people will. I'm curious to see, like, for one, like, if this thing actually happens and the payouts happen the way that they say they are.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do and everything goes as planned, what that does for the future landscape of scheduling. I mean, we're to where these types of events, you know, become the norm and probably eat up a good chunk of your non-conference schedule going forward for teams that are in that realm that, you know, are playing that type of NIL game. So a very fascinating case study with this deal. And yeah, if you can add $1 million to your NIL pool while also playing a competitive neutral site tournament, that's about as win-win as you can possibly get if you're a head coach.
And I know this has been talked about in connection with bowl games, but the fact that this is the first thing that appears to be getting off the ground before bowl games is a little weird.
Yeah, I'm surprised that college football wasn't kind of more on the forefront of that, just considering the state of their bowl system and the opt-outs and all that sort of thing. I mean, what a better incentive than dropping that kind of coin for guys to play. I'm sure that maybe, you know, the selling point of it, you know, the million is a little more stretched out of a football team as it is a basketball team. But even then, like, I mean, that's, like I said, I think that this is going to be probably easier to do with basketball, just logistically,
yeah,
to see how it all goes. And then with football, just because it's such a bigger operation, there's so many different elements involved that you got to kind of start small and then take the lessons from this experiment and then get it right for when it actually moves into football.
Robin, what does this mean for the other tournaments? Like, what is the ramification or a trickle down to, you know, the Maui Invitationals of the world, the Battle for Atlantis? What does this mean for them?
Well, that's going to be the interesting part. Is that if this thing happens and it goes well, then more are going to follow. And then you'll probably either start to see those other types of MTEs follow suit to add NIL incentives, or you see them kind of go to the wayside for these types of, you know, more money-driven events. And so that, like I said, I'm very curious to see how not only this event goes, but then what the ramifications are for it afterwards and what it does to future scheduling and how it could potentially shift the landscape for, you know, the high majors and kind of the blue blood programs out there that are, again, in this conversation in the NIL world, as far as how much that kind of shifts the way that they schedule and what it means for, you know, those other tournaments if they don't get on board with this same type of format.
Meanwhile, today, the other news around college basketball is that the NCAA has opened the door to unlimited official visits for basketball. Very volatile time because you're both looking ahead to recruiting your 2025 class. You've got the transfer portal, even though it's closed. Obviously, for schools like Nebraska, who still have a couple of open scholarships, you're trying to find people to come in. This would seem to open things up during a volatile time, not having to worry about the number of official visits that you're using up.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about basically recruiting two different pools of talent and then limiting the number of visitors you can have, like it's just unnecessary at this point. It's kind of an antiquated rule that just doesn't apply to the current recruiting game with the portal world and whatnot. So, you know, I think it was one of the few smart decisions made by the NCAA to where they kind of just decided that, you know what, things are already hard enough with roster management and recruiting. Let's not add this kind of unnecessary hurdle. And so, you know, I think that's good. And, you know, it might make recruiting a little more difficult just in the sense that schools are going to be a lot more willing to host a lot of visitors. And so that just kind of puts more on the plate of the coaching staff and recruit support staff. Just to be able to handle more visitors. But I think that's a good problem to have when it comes to having more opportunities to showcase your program.
Robin, what questions now, I guess, still remain about the Nebraska basketball roster for the 2024-2025 season? It's the first time I've had a chance to talk to you in a couple of weeks. I'm wondering where everything is and kind of what maybe marking posts are there for the remainder of the offseason.
Still need a power forward, probably looking at more like a stretch four type, guy that can bring a little bit more firepower from the perimeter. Because right now, with Rink Mass being out, the bigs aren't shooters. And Andrew Morgan's not a really good three-point shooter. Braxton Mia is not a shooter at all. And so, you know, they need a little bit more of that ability to spread the court with that, you know, kind of run a little bit more of that five-out offense that can make opposing bigs have to come out of the lane a little bit. So I think that's kind of what they're looking for with that last spot. And then it wouldn't surprise me at all. They have two open scholarships. If they get that stretch four and then just sit on the final spot, keep it open. And there's several reasons to do that anymore. Having 13 scholarship players is fairly pointless. Nebraska made the tournament last year with three scholarship players who played a combined 32 minutes. And all 32 of those came from Matar Chop. They had two other guys that didn't play a bit. And so, you know, with the volatility of the transfer cycle, you're just not developing guys the way you used to. So those basically you need like 10 guys just to be safe. And then those other three spots, you know, you can kind of do whatever you please with them. And keeping them open is probably almost the best route just because it's one less player you have to babysit, and it gives you more options. You know, if something pops up along the way, or you know, take it forward to your next class, or whatever it may be. So I think that's kind of the likely route that they take. And then the $1 million question, speaking of $1 million, is who that power forward, what names are on the radar. It's been real radio silence as far as, you know, who they're actively pursuing. At this point, there's the Berkey kid from UCLA, transfer. He's from Turkey, and he's got a very Turkish last name. I'm not going to try to pronounce it on air, but he's one name that has surfaced. But all reports are he's taking this recruiting process very slowly and still working on who he's going to visit. So no rush on that front. And then again, there just really hasn't been much news to come out as to who else Nebraska might be pursuing. So I know people want to kind of like put the bow on this roster, but until they get that last spot with that you know, stretch four type, you know, the offseason additions still continue. But I would say for the most part, they like what they've done so far. A lot of it is going to be contingent on guys like Connor Sejan and Gavin Griffiths making the jump that Nebraska expects them to make. You know, they both kind of are coming off disappointing seasons, but have shown a lot of potential. And the hope is that they reach that potential now in Fred's system. And if that happens, then all of a sudden you got something to work with. But, you know, until they actually get on campus and integrate with his team, those unknowns, you know, cast a little bit of doubt. But as far as what they've done so far, I think it's been good. And then it's just a matter of finish it off and then seeing how it all comes together in June.
Robin Washington of HuskerOnline.com. Aaron Ulis is one of the players who is returning, or at least he's on the scholarship list still, for next season. Tomorrow, we're going to have as our guest Patrick Vint, who is a writer in Iowa, who did a very thorough synopsis of the whole gambling scandal that involved Iowa and Iowa State athletes. Aaron was one of those athletes who was involved in what basically is an illegal sting operation. I mean, we'll hear a lot more about that tomorrow. But as far as Aaron and Nebraska, do we know where he stands? I mean, are we full speed ahead to him playing next year?
Yeah, I mean, he's cleared, because the Nebraska, basically since that whole situation started to surface about a year ago, they kind of understood that with the accusations on him, if that all came to light, that he would be forced to miss, basically lose a year of college eligibility. And so they kind of were proactive with it, even though I don't think the NCAA ever officially announced a formal punishment.
No, I don't believe they did.
So they kind of did it just expecting that it would happen. And so if whatever the things stand pat and that punishment or whatever for those athletes is officially levied at some point, then that'll be time served. Last season would be for Aaron Ulis. So he has another year of eligibility. And so worst case scenario, he has 1 year to play one here at Nebraska, and this season would be it. So then the other part of it is if this gets thrown out, you know, with this lawsuit that they're involved with, and they rule that no you know, harm was done or whatever it may be, the NCAA decides to just kind of wipe the slate clean, then Aaron Ulis still has a redshirt year available. So they can apply that redshirt season to last year, and he would have 2 years of eligibility at Nebraska remaining. So at minimum, he will be able to play this season for 1 year as a Husker. And then best case, as far as he's concerned, if that all gets thrown out, he could have two.
Robin, I have been asked to ask you from Connor, who's listening.
Connor Happer.
We have come up with an idea.
Yes, we have.
For the Colorado game. We want to bring back the glory of the Restore the Order t-shirts, which famously came out during the 2005 Colorado win.
God, amazing.
However, we've changed them. It's going to be Restore the Order. That's going to be on the t-shirt.
Yeah.
Restore the Order. You think that has a chance of selling?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you do. I think as long as it's done right and, you know, it looks cool, you know, I think there's a way that you could really make that happen.
And then if they win, then the shirt would be Restored Order Restored. So we've got it all figured out.
Yeah, we're trying to make a lot of money off of this.
Yeah. Order Restoration Restored.
Order Restoration Restored.
That almost sounds like some kind of a legal thing, right?
Yeah, it kind of does.
Yeah. You get a lawsuit.
Yeah, probably. Robin Washington of HuskerOnline.com. Robin, enjoy your weekend. Thanks for joining us.
Yep, keep me posted on the shirt.
Oh, we will.
Yeah.
We will, because we're trying to figure out a way to do Big Red Overreaction from Lincoln that night. Because we hear from a little bird who might be your boss that the game could be at night.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it sounds like it's trending that way. And I'm getting 2014 Miami vibes already.
Let's go.
It's going to be nasty, Robin. It's going to be very, very nasty.
Nasty Memorial Stadium is my favorite Memorial Stadium.
Yeah, we don't get to see it very often.
But when it does, I know. When it happens, it's real deal.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
You know, thankfully, Restore the Order is one thing we're bringing back, unlike Josh, who wanted to bring back the Sal is Dead banner from 19.
No, I just asked if maybe. Is that problematic, Robin?
Yes.
I'm just asking.
You might run into some issues there.
They did it in the 90s or the 80s. When was that?
It was 1991.
Wow.
1990.
John, you're the one who's always complaining that everything is too soft these days. I come out with you with a nice idea, and you say, no, I'm too soft for that idea. Put a big Husker Online banner on it, too, Robin.
Yeah,
Sal is dead.
We'll
HuskerOnline.com.
You could have like Sean's face, like a little bubble, like cartoon bubble coming out.
Exactly. Subscribe to our podcast.
The funny thing is the banner I remember from that game, it was an election year in Nebraska, and Kay Orr was the governor.
Mm.
And during an extra point or a field goal attempt, I can't remember what, someone had a giant white sheet and they unveiled it.
The
banner read, "No More." And it was spelled M-O-R-R because that was Kay Orr's last name. No More. That's the banner I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Sal is Dead one.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah. Robin, we'll leave on that awkward note.
Good. Perfect.
Thank you.
Bye, Robin.
Robin Walsh at HuskerOnline.com.
We're just coming with ideas today.
Many ideas. Not all of them are great.
Yeah, so I made a little thing, just trying to kind of work on it a little bit.
Oh.
The issue, because, you know, and you'll notice the font up there, that is the one on top, so it's on top of the red font. You know, I don't know if that's
would
the
it look
font.
A little better if it was a little overlapping?
That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah, I think just drag that down a little bit.
Like that?
Josh is actually designing the T-shirt.
I just don't know if that's too dirty, messy.
Just make that move it up a little bit more.
Oh, that's going to go outside the square.
Not too big, but just move it up. Yeah,
like
just so it's clipping the first R. Restore
the order.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Restore the order.
And look, no zone logo, so can't even get in trouble.
Mm.
There you go. Pretty easy.
It's very easy.
Pretty easy.
Restore
the order. It's a hashtag.
And then restored order restored.
Yeah.
Which is what we hope we have.
Need to get the hashtag going. Restore the order.
I just retweeted a picture a moment ago.
Oh, yeah? Everything okay?
Billy C.
Hey, Husker fan. Speaking of restoring the order.
Meeting with the Tennessee media. Remember, his son Brian is the new head coach.
Uh-huh.
And BC, old BC, is the new offensive line coach. It's kind of cool to see him in a press setting just standing around going, "Well, I think he's going to be a good offensive tackle."
I like talking about
Titan
the fan. Offensive line. Husker fan.
Titan fan.
Mm. Man, I miss Bill Callahan.
Bill in Nashville.
Joey.
We've got Bill in Dallas, Bill in Cleveland, Bill in New York,
yep,
Bill in D.C.
Bill in Lincoln, obviously.
Bill in Lincoln. Joey, now it's Bill in Nashville.
Joey has done such a great job for us this week. If he can get Bill Callahan on our show the week of the Colorado game.
You know what?
I will. What did I say? I was going to buy you lunch about the Cowboys game.
That's how we go 5 for 5 in best of crossovers this week. If Billy C. joins us in the crossover.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right, Joey, the pressure is on. Contact the PR person for the Tennessee Titans and say that we would like to talk to Bill Callahan about the Restore the Order Nebraska-Colorado game in 2005.
Well, I got to go find Josh Hodgson's.
No, you know what, Joey? I actually might have some...
Head of the Tennessee Titans fan base.
I might have some contact for you. I think I can find
That's this. How we go 5 for 5.
Right, I'm gonna look this
if
up.
If Billy C. joins us tomorrow in the crossover to talk about Restore the Order.
What are they called, John, in the NFL? They're not called SIDs.
Well, that's just the
here
PR
we go.
Director.
Vice President of
Communications.
Football Communications. I have some phone numbers.
Send it his way. We'll be back on 1620 The Zone.